Wired Jesus Podcast, July 15th, 2010. Creative Commons licensed.
Initiating startup sequence.
Transmitters? We don't need no stinking transmitters.
Wired Jesus Podcast. Wired Wanderings of a Postmodern Pilgrim.
Scares me.
Well, yeah, but just because God doesn't answer your prayers doesn't mean he doesn't care about you.
Well, then why didn't he give me what I wanted?
Well, God can't just answer every prayer and suddenly give you everything you want. That takes all the living out of life.
What do you mean?
Hello, and welcome to the Wired Jesus Podcast. The Wired Wanderings of a Postmodern Pilgrim. I'm your host and fellow traveler, Tom Lieberg, and glad you've come along for our journey together. Lately, I've been thinking about the future of the church. Not necessarily a church with the big C, the mystical body of Jesus in the world that are made up of all the followers of Jesus, but probably more along the lines of the church as we've tribalized it down into denominations and buildings. My 20 years of work as a pastor and as a church consultant, I've become increasingly convinced that we are at a pivotal moment as the church in North America. To either be Jesus in the flesh in our culture in a meaningful way, or to die out as the church has been known in our country. Now, as people who believe in a resurrection from the dead, dying is not so bad. New life rises out of it. But if local congregations and denominations don't come to grips that the world has changed while we were self-absorbed in our own internal debates of practice and theology and claims to personal truth, the church as we have known it in the U.S. will die out, probably in two generations. While this is not a new conclusion for me, and others have drawn the same and written on it far better, several events in the last month or so have kind of driven home this thinking. Now, Leonard Sweet is a church futurist and an acquaintance of mine who I've learned to great deal from via his books, his tweets, and his podcasts. He recently released a video interview through the website Work of the People. It's one of the best video resources out there. I'll post a link to it along with Len's sites. But I would suggest that if you're at your computer right now, stop the podcast and go to the link on Wired Jesus and watch the clip that's marked Bastions of Boredom on Vimeo. Now, if you've already listened to it or if you're listening on your iPod, let me go on ahead. Because like I was saying, as I look at the church landscape today, you see this rise in our society to be more creative, more artistic. Now, I think of all the TV channels dedicated to art and nuance. The Food Network and the Cooking Channel are coaching us to be more discerning about food, introducing terms like presentation and palates to our evening meals. DIY and HGTV have gone beyond our usual putting up photos and velvet prints of gambling dogs on our white painted walls to start to have us consider things like flow, accents, and color styles. I mean, even during this recession, when you would think circumstances would steer us more towards simplicity and frugality, it's really art and creativity that's the driving force in our emerging culture and our emerging generations. It's coming out of what Len calls the Gutenberg world, the remnants of the industrial age, the child of left-brain rationalism and practicality. And instead, we have entered a Googler's world, a culture of the right brain, a world of art, creativity, and unpredictability. You see it all around us. People want something new, something creative, something dynamic and stimulating. Except in the church.
What, you want to learn something?
Yes, I do.
What, you want me to teach you something? You want to learn something? All right, here's a useful lesson for you. Give up. Just quit. Because in this life, you can't win. Yeah, you can try. But in the end, you're just going to lose big time because the world is run by the man.
Who?
The man. Oh, you don't know the man? Oh, he's everywhere. In the White House, down the hall, Miss Mullins. She's the man. And the man ruined the ozone, and he's burning down the Amazon, and he kidnapped Shamu and put her in a chlorine tank, okay? And there used to be a way to stick it to the man. It was called rock and roll. But guess what? Oh, no. The man ruined that, too, with a little thing called MTV. So don't waste your time trying to make anything cool or pure or awesome, because the man's just going to call you a fat, washed-up loser and crush your soul. So do yourselves a favor and just give up!
To use Len's terms, the people of the word, as we often call ourselves, have become the people of Gutenberg, bound by paper, custom, and predictability in a world that has changed. Much of what I've done in my work as a pastor and such has been in Gutenberg congregations that have sensed that it's now a Google world. And that scares them to death quite often. But most of these places know that they should try to at least engage it. Now, most often the fear comes down to what is largely called tech in church circles. It's viewed as the invasion of TV screens and bright projectors, shaky videos, and guitar bands into our religious sanctuaries of paper hymnals and silent stained glass and orderly pews. The argument usually starts with the desire to grow, but then the appeal that, well, you know, Pastor, we aren't like other churches around here. We're proud of our traditions, of who we are and how we're faithful to Jesus. We differ from those other churches in those ways because we don't do what they do. Now, they take great pains not to admit that it means, well, we don't use familiar music to people under the age of 35. We won't offer alternative styles for worship or times even. And, oh, by the way, we aren't growing. In fact, people are leaving to go to those other places while we're trying to be faithful. So tech kind of gets the blame of being trendy, unfaithful, irreverent, and the whipping boy against any change that would connect us to our emerging, creative, right-brained Google world. But the issue today isn't tech any more than the issue was the printing press during the Reformation. The issue is all about communication. And if the church is about speaking the Word of God, then you better know how to speak the languages of the people around you. And that's the sadness that Len is addressing in this video. We believe we are the servants of the Creator of all the diversity of the universe. Wonders of color and nature, the beauty of art and endless creativity, and then we box it into a rigid Bible book, bound by our rules, and trap any followers, or those who might want to be followers, in walls of buildings that look more like funeral chapels and sound like a museum exhibit audio track.
What we've got here is failure to communicate. Some men you just can't reach. so you can get what we had here last week, which is the way he wants it. Well, he gets it, and I don't like it any more than you, man.
Blame it on tech. Blame it on boredom. What we have here is a generational failure to communicate. I would even go so far as to say it's a failure to follow Jesus. For example, I remember one congregation that interviewed me to become their next senior pastor. It was about 5 or so years ago. And during one of our meetings, they asked to see some of my consulting work. So I sent them a PowerPoint with some notes that they could look at on their own. Now, when we got together, one person asked me about an example I used in teaching, the song Affirmation by Savage Garden. My position was that if you wanted to understand what people under the age of 30 believe, people under the age of 30 who hadn't bought into the church, if you want to understand what they believe, listen to this song. And what followed was a bizarre conversation in which this 30-something committee member who had a 2-year seminary degree, which is what got him on the panel, but was still unemployed and living with his parents, he wanted to know, why did I write this song and why did I believe what it said? And we spent the next 20 minutes clearing up that, no, I didn't write the song. 2, the lyrics are not a statement about my own faith in Jesus, but what I believe is the reality of American unchurched culture. And yes, there is a place for video, band music, and engaging non-Christians on their own terms, that this is something that Jesus would do, and probably as Lutherans, we should be doing too. In the end, they asked me to be their new senior pastor, but only with some particular conditions. First, even though they had lost a couple hundred members to 2 nearby churches that had band-led interactive worship, I couldn't do that. In fact, any of the things that I was doing in my congregation at that time or taught in my consulting really wouldn't be welcome there, and I shouldn't do it. My suggestion is that they work with the local school of arts for new musicians to consider worship services at the lakefront beach right behind the church, and connecting with the arts community down the street that was one of the largest in their state was all met with skepticism. You know, those people weren't like us. They might not fit in here with what we do. But since I was young, if I just did things the way that they had been doing them for years, they were sure the church would start to grow and everyone would be happy. I said no. Last I heard, they were still doing very nice traditional worship, asking people to conform to their vision of who Jesus is, and because they got a particular type of pastor, lots of people have left, and they're having problems now paying for just one pastor rather than the large staff they used to have. The problem wasn't tech. It was communication. And people under the age of 40 and out in their community heard the message loud and clear. Gutenbergers only. Googlers not welcome. And that goes for their pastors too. Another example is my own tribe, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. At least they understand that something is wrong, so they've started a study group complete with some Facebook support to talk about the ecology of the church, and they're trying to get the rapidly disappearing number of us who are under the age of 45 to participate in the discussion. So they have a great study team of people and surveys asking the people who stayed in our denomination what they think. I mean, how boring is that? It's navel-gazing. You've just made up an audience of yes people who are there because of what you're doing, not the thousands of people who have walked away because they didn't want to be here. You want to know why your congregation or denomination isn't growing? Go to the local mall, the coffee house, and ask the people there why they don't go. You know, it's doing what the Apostle Paul did in the book of Acts. You go to Mars Hill in Athens and you talk to the unconvinced and those who walked away. While it may be generational, you know, really, Gutenbergers come in all ages just like Googlers. But if there is a shift to going to the creative and the artistic, which I believe it is from everything I see, if you tell the artists and the creatives their gifts aren't godly and aren't welcome, that digital arts are cartoons and social networking is a waste of time and not real relationships, that laptops and email are inherently offensive because some people can't use them, well, those that embrace them, the increasing numbers of those who embrace them, the children that we raised and have called them the future of the church, they're going to walk away bored, and they will let the church as we know it die.
Yea, believe in me and ye shall find peace.
Yeah, we've heard that crap for about 2,000 years now. We want to hear something new. It's the year 2000, for Christ's sake.
Yeah!
Well, what do you want?
We want to see God!
Yeah, with our own eyes.
Yeah!
We followed blindly for thousands of years, and we think the least God can do is show up for New Year's Eve 1999.
Yeah!
Let me think about that for a minute.
Len has it right. And like him, I don't have any easy answers to solve the communication problem. The closest thing I can come to is this. Do congregations love Jesus more than they love themselves? Are baby boomers willing to give up their generational desire to have everything their way and only their way? Which, funny, increasingly looks like the way their parents did church. See, in the end, it's not about us. It's not about tech. It's about the reality that we have the most exciting, life-changing message and mission in the world, and we're fumbling it because few people understand the language we are using. And too many of us are refusing to learn any other. So fewer people feel welcome in local congregations because we restrict participation to only those who color between the lines we create. Me? I'm just glad to be still working with some congregations and people like Len that know art is more than a velvet Jesus and faith is more than an hour in a pew on Sunday morning. There is hope out there. And there's a few people like Len reminding us of how to get there, and a few congregations that are actually doing it. So, watch the video, download it. You can do that through Work of the People and get all the copyrights and stuff taken care of. And if you're feeling lucky, and you're a pastor person, show it in worship. Show it to a Sunday school or small group. What's the worst that could happen? The church might die? Well, then maybe it might rise again. I heard someplace that things like that can happen when Jesus is involved. That's it for Wired Jesus number 54. Links to Len's video and his other websites, as well as that of Work of the People, are on the Wired Jesus webpage. I'm at church camp this week and trying to get a few podcast scripts done so I can record them here or later on. And so that Rob Bell reflection is still in the works. It's rather fascinating in looking around the internet. It seems that church people, particularly conservative evangelical types, are still having inordinate joy at beating up on Rob Numa and his style of preaching. So keep an eye out for all those on iTunes in the next month or so, and on the blog. Well, Summer's coming to an end, and because of some of the staff changes where I serve, my ability to do any more Wired Jesus on the Road events are really limited. But I can see that I can, see what I can do with my calendar, and if you are interested in helping your congregation explore communicating in the 21st century, I might be able to still work something out. I might lead you into YouTube Eucharist to explore an alternative worship. Who knows, I might even show Len's video. So drop me an email, and if you're interested in something, we can see what we can do. So until the next podcast, thanks for listening, and see you out there on the road.
What if God was one of us? Just a slot like one of us. Blue, 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 blue. Yeah, blah, blee, blee, blee.
Well done. Very good.
Dr. Evil, that was fantastic.
Thank you, number two. I wrote that. Yeah.